Blog Talk Radio.
Open up the champagne pocket. Smile, come on, turn it up. Hear a knock on the door and the night begins. Cause we've done this before, so you come home in. Look yourself up at home, tell me where you've been. Something cold, baby, kiss to me. Sometimes you gotta take it, and you know where I live. Yeah, you know what we is. Sometimes you gotta say, eh. Welcome to my house, baby, take control now.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Our House, the BFD Fantasy Football Show, brought to you by ScoutFantasy.com. Thanks for listening live. Those downloading later, wherever you are, we genuinely appreciate your support. We've got a great hour set up here for you. Hard to believe. NFL Week 15 in the books. Fantasy playoff time. All the chips are down. We're talking fantasy championships, I suppose some consolations, but for the most part, as big as it gets for fantasy football, both from a season-long and a daily perspective. So really exciting to be with everybody tonight. We're going to talk about what we saw in Week 15. We're going to talk about some guys, if you're in a league where you can still pick up folks, maybe some guys who might be able to help improve your rosters. And then hopefully we can spend some time talking about how to win some of the big-time contests they have on dailies for Week 16, pretty much the biggest season of the year all the way around. I'm Joe Jefferson. I'm your host. I'm usually, as always, joined by Dave Terpoli, affectionately known as Dave Terp in these parts. Let's see if Dave – let's do a mic check. Dave, you on with me? Oh, Dave. Let's see here. We're having a problem here in Dave. Let me see if I can get him back. Hopefully everybody's out there is hearing me. Please give me a little feedback if you can. Let's see here. Get the chat going. Sorry, we're off to a little rocky start here, but give me just a minute and we'll get Dave Terp logged back in. For those who haven't, please do get on over to Scout Fantasy. We got a ton of great content over there, not only from me, but also from lots of great winners, both from a season-long and a daily perspective. You know, I'll go ahead and get into – it doesn't look like we've got Dave Terp online. I'll go ahead and get into the show here and see if we can get Dave Terp on here in just a minute. You know, Week 15, a wild one. You know, taking a look at some injury notes. You know, not a ton of big injuries, I guess, to chat about. A lot of guys, you know, I've got some updates on to share with everybody. See if we get Dave back. Dave, do I got you back?
I'm here.
Oh, there you go, buddy. You're coming through loud and clear. As promised, joined by my co-host, Dave Terp. How are you doing tonight?
Doing very well. It's championship week. A lot of money on the line.
No, baby. Let's get right to it. You know, who did you see? You know, start off maybe with some studs and duds. Who did you see as, you know, major studs in 15 and duds in week 15?
LeSean McCoy led the list. Devonta Freeman close behind. I mean, monster performances from both of them and great matchups. Duds, I mean, a lot of people were dependent on the Mike Evans of the world. Antonio Brown was okay. You know, big name guys. Le'Veon Bell didn't do as much as most people thought he was in a kind of a revenge game against Cincinnati. He still did his solid, you know, 15, 16, 17 PPR points. Jordan Reed was a big clunker last night. A lot of people expected him and also Jameson Crowder to have big games. It's a lot on the line this week, and there's a lot of good matchups and a lot of good fantasy matchups, so hopefully we can cover tonight to get you ready to make that money.
Yeah, definitely some you know, big time guys not performing in week 15. Like you said, it's kind of frustrating as a fantasy owner. you know, manage your team all year, put yourself in a good chance for some success, only to let, you know, Amari Cooper, let you down in week 15 or some of the other guys you just mentioned. So we'll try to do the best we can to give you an idea of what we think we're going to see here in week 16. You know, injury news, you know, again, not a ton to talk about. Aaron Rodgers, playing through that calf, looks to be just fine, you know, played pretty darn well in an extremely cold game. You like what you're seeing from the Packer offense? Ty Montgomery, there's a stud right there. How about that?
He played great. Aaron Rodgers played great. I mean, he really didn't do anything fantasy-wise. I mean, the running backs were the story of the game, which is extremely surprising, even with Aaron Rodgers being banged up. I, for one, do not think that will continue this week. Ty Montgomery and Christian Michael will not run like that on the Minnesota Vikings, especially after the beatdown they took last week to Indianapolis. I expect the Aaron Rodgers to have a very solid game this week. Definitely a guy I'm looking at because pretty much Minnesota's done. You know, their beautiful start to their season is over. So expect Aaron Rodgers to have a good, solid game this week. I don't like his ceiling as high as certain other guys, but he's going to put up numbers, and he's going to guarantee throw for at least two touchdowns.
On the opposite end of the spectrum, Jet QB Bryce Petty looks to be okay, just dealing with a bruise, and he's got a good shot to be back this week. He was in practice today, I think. LeSean McCoy, like you said, after a great game, practicing back in full today. What a great performance, like you said. You like his outlook in week 16?
To me, he's the number one running back on the board daily. I mean, Miami is okay against the run. You know, pretty much a team that is playing for everything right now. But in Buffalo, I mean, LeSean McCoy is their offense, and that's pretty much all they got. I mean, Tyrod Taylor has really digressed as the season went on. I expect LeSean McCoy to have another 100 yards, two TDs, bunch of catches. I expect this game to be a LeSean McCoy type of game, just like last week.
Yeah, baby, they're riding him, and I'm down to as well. Let's see, Chargers running back Melvin Gordon. So I'm hoping that, you know, he might come back for championship week. Not at practice today. You know, no real reason, I think, to suggest that, you know, he think he'll be ready for week 16. What do you make of the Charger backfield?
You pretty much said it perfectly. There's really no reason for him to rush back. I'm a little upset about it because a couple of my championships this week, I have Melvin Gordon. I highly invested in him, you know, in the season, and I'm not getting to reap the benefits right now. I have a couple of Melvin Gordon, David Johnson teams that were stacked throughout the season, now are scrambling a little bit the position, obviously with Melvin Gordon being hurt. If Melvin Gordon doesn't play, which I don't think he will, I mean, you could get tricky and start Ronnie Hillman or Farrow. Would I? No. But if I was desperate, I mean, I like Ronnie Hillman a little bit better than Farrow. Neither of them did anything last week against the Raiders. So if you have Melvin Gordon, don't expect him to play this week.
Yeah, it's a disappointment. I'm in the same boat. Got Gordon all over the place. He got me here, and now I can't use Gordon. So bit of a disappointment. And like you said, bit of a disappointment from the backup running backs in San Diego. Ronnie Hillman does look like the stronger back, but not sure that they're going to be able to give him all the reps this week instead of Farrow. So tough to trust that situation altogether. Moving on to a situation closer to your neck of the woods, Darren Sproles expected to come back for this week's early game, right? Thursday this week against the Giants. So Sproles practiced in full today here. So what do you make of the Eagles running back situation now?
It's a disaster right now, to be honest. I mean, Ryan Matthews coming off a great game, but you never know what you're going to get from Ryan Matthews every week. The Giants are still playing for something. I mean, can they catch the Cowboys? Is it going to happen? Probably not. But, I mean, they're almost locked in as the fifth seed right now. I mean, it sucks because they're playing great football, won all those games in a row. I don't know who you start. Them Thursday night games are really tricky, especially with the NFL this week being scattered. Thursday games, we got Saturday, most of the games are. We have Sunday Christmas games, and then we have a Monday game. So it's a wide open. So if you got injuries, it's really, really a tough week to really manage because if you have guys like Rashad Jennings or you have guys like Ryan Matthews, Darren Sproles, you got to make that championship decision right away. And if it's me, I've tried to stay away from it all year. Thursday night games, I would not start anybody that's not Odell Beckham or the Giants defense.
Yeah, I think I'm down with that as well. Tough to trust anybody generally across the board. Although, you know, some lower end starts on the other, on the Eagle side of the ball, I guess. Kenjon Barner, of course, on the IR, clearing up a little bit, but I agree. I mean, what, you know, with Ryan Matthews, you never know exactly what you're going to get. He can go off. He can do nothing. Same thing with Sproles. You know, even from a PPR perspective, tough to trust some of these guys, but might have to roll the dice for a lot of people. D'Angelo Williams expected to come back. I don't really think that impacts Lev Bell at this point. He's just looking like a monster still. Let's see. Lamar Miller looks like he'll be back you know, after going forced out of the game late last week. You expect him to play in Week 16?
Yeah, I mean, I think he'll be out there. It's a little bit of a question right now, but being so early in the week, it's just got to follow the news. You know, teams are releasing, and I think he'll be out there.
Terrell Pryor, moving on to some receiver news. Terrell Pryor dealing with a torn ligament in his finger, apparently plans to play through it. You know, kind of came coming back to earth after a real, you know, hot start to the season. Or middle portion as well. But what do you think about Terrell Pryor moving forward?
He's a guy that I'm sitting. I mean, I have him in a couple spots that, I mean, you're talking about ligament damage on your finger. A guy who's been struggling lately, who's kind of hit the wall, it seems like, in a season that was so productive for him. I'm not starting him unless I have to. I mean, there's plenty of other options that, you know, if you made it this far, you have depth. And this depth is really when it comes in handy. I personally would start Corey Coleman over Terrell Pryor. That might sound crazy. Terrell Pryor is going to get a lot of number one coverage, and you saw what happened with Amari Cooper in San Diego with Jason Verrett, I think his name is. I'm terrible at pronunciations. So expect Coleman to maybe be a sneaky play in this game. He's really cheap and daily, especially if you're spending the money on the big guys. He might pick, you know, let's be serious. Chargers have given up a lot of passing yards this year, and Corey Coleman might have a chance to be a sleeper this week. I don't like Terrell Pryor at all, though.
Yeah, boy, after playing so well earlier in the year, tough to see him. But, you know, there's a lot of guys like that who are kind of limping to the end of the season here. A.J. Green looks like he's going to come back, you know, barring in – you know, something crazy at this point. You think AJ is going to be back?
I think he plays. The question is, I mean, I have a couple spots where I own him in championships this week. Do you play him? Do you play a guy like Taylor Gabriel if Julio Jones misses a game, or do you play AJ Green? Do you play a guy like Steve Smith in a great matchup against the Steelers in a pretty much win or go home type of game, or do you play AJ Green? I think you got to temper your expectations a little bit with AJ Green. I don't know what I'm doing yet, but as of now, I would say I'm going to keep him on the bench. It's not the best matchup in the world against the Texans, especially for a team who's playing for everything, and the Bengals are playing for nothing. I don't see why A.J. Green needs to rush back in this game. I don't think he's going to be out there as much as people think.
Yeah, a little different than, you know, who did we just see come back? Alshon Jeffrey this week, who came back and had a pretty solid week. You know, a guy who didn't have to come back from an injury, guy who was in a contract year, you know, A.J. Green, not as, you know, plug and play in week 16. But, you know, I wouldn't drop too far. I would play Green, you know, unless I had some pretty solid options. A couple you mentioned would be good enough. But, you know, again, depends on some of your options there. Dante Moncrief returning to practice today. He's currently back on track to play. You like him in week 16?
I mean, I like him. I don't love him. It's really hard to get excited about him, especially, you know, Andrew Luck is pretty much T.Y. Hilton and T.Y. Hilton. I mean, you saw, you know, tight ends are being sporadically used from Doyle to Swoop to, you know, Dwayne Allen in different weeks. it's just a question of, you know, do you trust Moncrief in a game that's going to pretty much win you a lot of money? And the answer to me is no.
You know, I trust him for a pretty good chance of a touchdown, but not over 100 yards. You know, I mean, he's a solid yardage guy, and solid receptions, but, you know, he has to have that touchdown in order to be a good start. Let's see. Julio Jones going to test himself tomorrow. You think he's back in there?
I mean, I don't see another reason why he needs to play. I know they're playing for home field advantage, but they're doing really well without him. Really, he's clearly banged up. They should be able to beat Carolina, even though Carolina's, you know, coming off a positive win against Washington. Atlanta's playing good football right now on both sides of the ball. They're not really making many mistakes. They run the ball really well. And between Sanu and Gabriel, I think they can win this game without him. There's no need to rush him back because if they want to make a run in the NFC, they need Julio Jones.
Yeah, I like him to play this week. And
you do remember what he did last week. Last time they played Carolina, it was really, really, really ugly for that secondary.
Yeah, that's right. You know, you mentioned Jordan Reed earlier. I mean, he's feeling a bit more normal is what I'm kind of hearing. Only 10 snaps last week. But, maybe he's feeling a little better. What do you think about Jordan Reed?
I mean, if you own him this point, you pretty much got to start him against the Bears. It's a really good matchup. But if you have a solid backup tight end, Jordan Reed, I watched that game last night. He looked as close to bad as possible. The only pass he caught, he fell down, got hurt, and just pretty much stood up. And Kirk Cousins dumped it to him. I mean, if you have a backup tight end or somebody you want to get tricky with, I'm playing him over Jordan Reed because I don't see what his ceiling is. Even against a Bears team who's pretty bad on defense, he's just not going to get the targets that he would if he was healthy. He clearly is in major pain watching that game last night. There are two different times he was laying on the turf in excruciating pain. So what's his ceiling? Not high. I think he has a better chance to go zero and really hurt you in his spot. If you're asking me Jordan Reed or Charles Clay, which sounds crazy, I mean, I'm thinking Charles Clay. If you're asking me Ryan Griffin from Houston, which or Jordan Reed, I'm taking Ryan Griffin. It might sound crazy to most people, but I watched Jordan Reed play last night in a matchup without Luke Kuechly, and he did nothing. He just looked like he was just trying to gut it out and, for a tight end who can't block, not a guy I'm depending on that could really realistically put up a zero in a championship and would kill your team.
No doubt. One major disappointment for me in week 15, Terrence West outsnaps Kenneth Dixon. Now Kenneth Dixon might finally have gotten his opportunity, but West back in there and looked pretty solid. Who you like in week 16? You think this is West, back to West now?
I mean, realistically, I think it's whoever's hot, and they really don't trust either of them because, to me, Dixon looked great, and then West looked great, and then Dixon looked great. You don't know. They clearly are just going to give it to the hot hand, and who that could be this week against Pittsburgh at Heinz Field in that atmosphere, I don't like either of them. If I had a pick, I'd pick Dixon just because he gives you a little bit more of a PPR option. But other than that, not excited about either of them. If you're desperate, you got to use one of them. I'm using Dixon over West.
Yeah, I've been on Dixon the last couple of weeks. I guess I'm switching back over to West perhaps. But again, probably not playing either in many spots that matter. Sammy Watkins, been playing obviously through this broken foot. What do you make of him?
Another guy that, you know, I'm just not sold on. And I mean, he's doing okay, but another guy whose ceiling is not much. I mean, he's battling out there. He's giving it all he has. Miami secondary sucks. Might look like a good matchup. To me, he's nothing more than a wide receiver four, a flex option, if you're really desperate. I just think there's better spots that you can exploit rather than Sammy Watkins. I mean, that foot injury is very scary. Another guy that I have no idea why he's on the field. I know he wants to gut it out, but get in there, get your foot fixed, and hopefully get ready for next year. It makes no sense why they have him out there.
Moving down to Houston, Tom Savage looks like he's going to start the last two games. Any hope there?
Let's hope for DeAndre Hopkins. I mean, he seemed like he was getting the ball, which is good. I mean, what that means in the long run, I don't know. They're probably still a playoff team. I mean, they'll probably still win that division, even though the Titans got a big win last week against the Chiefs. It really just comes down to, can he not make mistakes? Are they going to depend on Lamar Miller? Is he going to get DeAndre Hopkins a ball? There's a lot of questions, and if you're Bill O'Brien right now, you got to be pulling whatever hair you have left out. You got to be losing, you know, years on your life. You spent all that money on Brock Osweiler, and I don't know of a quarterback in the whole NFL this year that has looked worse than Brock Osweiler. And that's saying a lot, because quarterback play right now, looking at this list, has been atrocious. I would say guys like Colin Kaepernick, guys like, well, let's go through this list. Colin Kaepernick, Matt Barkley has played better. Sam Bradford has played better. I mean, you're talking about really, really bad quarterbacks that have played better than him. So, man, I don't know. That team is – they got a lot of talent, but they're just a quarterback away, it seems like, again, from making any noise in the playoffs.
Yeah, Brock really has gotten every chance to succeed. And, you know, as a Brock – or, I'm sorry, as a Denver Broncos fan, it's kind of interesting to watch. And, you know, glad we didn't overspend to see that kind of debacle. But, you know, crowd was excited about Savage. Like you said, definitely got the ball to Hopkins. Also think it means good things for Will Fuller, too, don't you think?
Definitely. He's another guy that – both of those guys are going to be, in my opinion, really heavily owned this week in daily. They're both going to be on DraftKings especially. They're both cheap. I believe Hopkins is in the 5,000, 5,200 range, Fuller being in the 4,100 range. If you're getting the studs in there like McCoy, you know, Mike Evans in a plus matchup, you know, Brandon Cooks, that kind of stuff, you're going to be looking at guys like that. And both of those guys, in my opinion, will be very, very highly owned, especially DeAndre Hopkins.
Ooh, is Brandon Cooks back up to stud territory? You trust him in week 16?
If I saw Brandon Cooks right now, I would probably think about punching him in the face. That's how much he has tortured me this year in every aspect of fantasy football. And I don't say that about many people, but Brandon Cooks and Kelvin Benjamin, I can guarantee you next year, will not be on my fantasy team. The torture of their season this year between both of them has just been, I don't own Kelvin Benjamin in a lot of spots, but I don't want to hear about it. They rushed him back from ACL. And Brandon Cooks, you saw what the Saints did against the Cardinals. Brandon Cooks' talent is not questioned. But for whatever reason, Sean Payton just doesn't like getting the ball in some games. And last week, nobody used Brandon Cooks. And what did Brandon Cooks do? Destroyed people. Just everybody sat him after two clunk weeks. And he destroyed people. And if you played against him, i.e. me, in two spots, two big spots, you're still feeling the effects of Brandon Cooks this Tuesday night.
That's right. Let's see. Moving on to, Jacksonville. Blake Bortles, what a disappointment. What a ridiculously poor 92-yard passing performance in Houston. They're going to stick with him, though. Is that the right call? I mean, I don't know who they even got there.
Do they have a choice? No. I mean, these are the games that I always say are tricky to tricky watch. Tennessee Titans secondary stinks. I'm not going to sit here and endorse Blake Bortles as a fantasy player this year, this week especially. But I'll tell you one guy, Allen Robinson's a guy that I really, really like this week. New coach, fired Gus Bradley. Guys that are just getting a job, they know they're probably not going to get the long-term job, but they want to put themselves out there that they could either be the savior of this floundering offensive team. I expect Blake Bortles to have a really solid game. I wouldn't be shocked if they beat Tennessee in this game, a team that has nothing to play for, but new coach, you know, finally get away from that burden of Gus Bradley and the debacle he brought. It could be a tricky spot. It could be a spot that most people ignore. A guy like Blake Bortles and Allen Robinson could be a really, really underrated stack to use this week. I might be crazy by saying that, but don't sleep on it. Tennessee secondary sucks, and this game's in Jacksonville. No weather concerns.
Let's see. Ladarius Green in concussion protocol after getting some targets over the last few weeks. You think that changes anything in Pittsburgh?
He's doubtful. I doubt he plays. He's had issues in the past with concussions. They're going to be really cautious with this. He's been a great weapon for them since he's come back. It's a big game. It's pretty much the biggest game on the schedule this week from NFL purposes. Pittsburgh wins, they win the division. Baltimore wins, they're leading the division with the driver's seat, you know, right in front of them. He doesn't play. I don't think it really affects much in Pittsburgh. I think Antonio Brown, this is the game when he just explodes. Le'Veon Bell should bounce back from a, you know, average game, I guess you could say, against Cincinnati. Eli Rogers might get a couple targets, but don't get crazy and start Jesse James or anybody like that. This is pretty much going to be a Rogers, Bell, mix in a little Eli Rogers, but Darius Green will not play.
Looking at some other deeper tight end, Deion Sims, you know, is a little bit merging a little bit in that Miami Dolphins offense. Broncos look like they've probably got a new starter moving forward, probably at least for this week. Jeff Heuerman with Virgil Green getting pretty much knocked out on the field. You think any hope for either of those guys?
Deion Sims is a little bit of a sneaky pick. I mean, I love when backup quarterbacks come in the game. They usually have a guy they're familiar with, you know, a secondary tight end, a backup receiver who they just look what Bryce Petty's doing with Robbie Anderson. Robbie Anderson right now, if Bryce Petty plays, is a starting fantasy football receiver. And I can guarantee you at the beginning of the season, if you would have told me that I would be starting Robbie Anderson in week 16 with money on the line, I would have probably had you, you know, put in a straitjacket. But it's happening. And guys like Deion Sims definitely have value. Am I starting him over, getting crazy and putting him as a flex position or anything like that? Let's pump the brakes a little bit. He could be sneaky. He could be a good daily option. But season long with that kind of money on the line, I'm not using him. And the Denver tight end situation, if your name's not Demaryius Thomas or Emmanuel Sanders, you're not getting used, especially against a good Kansas City team.
Yeah, I'm probably on board with that. Okay, moving on to some NFC notes. Larry Fitzgerald talking about the possibility of retiring this year. It looks like he's kind of limping towards the end of his career. Certainly the end of the season in Seattle. Not a lot of hope, right?
No, not a lot of hope at all. There's pretty much nothing else to say on that.
Yeah. Let's see. How about Matt Barkley throwing the ball over the field in Chicago? Cameron Meredith has a good day. Alshon Jeffrey has a good day. Thompson has a good day. What do you think about them this week?
I like Matt Barkley. I mean, he could be a guy, another guy who's just a little under the radar, a guy that you won't think about building a team around. Daily-wise, I would say he's tricky. I mean, am I going to bank, you know, big money on him? No. But I like the other side in this game. I think Kirk Cousins, most people are going to be steering away from him. If it's not too cold in Chicago, Kirk Cousins, DeSean Jackson, Pierre Garçon type of stack could be a big time stack because Chicago stinks in the secondary. They got a lot of young players. And what that means is they're going to be throwing the ball a ton themselves. So guys like Meredith are very, very tricky in this game. If he doesn't get matched up with Josh Norman, he's definitely a play in this game.
You think he's the best Bears play? I mean, who's the best Bears play?
Meredith. Jordan Howard's the best play. You saw what Jonathan Stewart did against that offense.
Yeah, I mean, Meredith over Jeffrey?
I'd probably still go Jeffrey, but Jeffrey's probably going to get a lot of Josh Norman. So Meredith, if he gets stuck on that other side, their other corners are in disaster mode right now. They lost a lot of guys through injury last night. And the Redskins, they got to be just steaming after that loss last night, controlling their own destiny to be in big trouble right now.
How motivated do you think Alshon Jeffrey is by his contract expiring? You know, obviously coming off the suspension.
Very, very motivated. He knows coming off that suspension, he needs to get out there and earn his money. And he's a guy that I will be on no matter who he's guarding this week, because Josh Norman's going to be on him one-on-one probably most of the game. But Alshon Jeffrey is going to get enough targets to warrant making a move in, you know, some big spots for me.
I like that. I like Alshon Jeffrey down the stretch. Let's see, down to L.A., Jared Goff may not be cleared from concussion protocol for Saturday's game for the Rams. I'm hearing reports the team's considering starting Sean Mannion in place of Case, you know, in case in Goff's place over Case Keenum. What do you think about that?
If you watch this game, I really think you need to get your head looked at. There is absolutely no reason to ever turn this game on the TV. This could be one of the worst games in NFL history if Sean Mannion starts. We know how awful San Francisco is. Colin Kaepernick is a stiff. Outside of the two running backs in this game between Carlos Hyde and Todd Gurley, you better not even consider starting any receivers in this game. If you do, you're a certified nut job, and if it works out for you, I'll clap it up for you because – you can't even name who's starting in San Francisco right now at receiver. They're all over the place. And outside of Kenny Britt and Tavon Austin, you trusting Sean Mannion with big money in Daly? You're certainly not starting him in any sort of season-long league, championship or, you know, semis. No way. But the defensive teams, both defensive teams could be really tricky. And I'll tell you, St. Louis Rams defense, I really like them in this matchup. San Francisco, I don't mind either. I mean, they're not too expensive across the board. And Colin Kaepernick loves to throw the ball to the other team. And the one thing about the Rams defense, they hit people. Guys like Aaron Donald, guys like, you know, Ogletree, they're going to hit people. So watch out for that defense this week in Daly.
Love it. See, moving on to a couple guys who might be able to help your roster if you're able to still pick up free agents in your league. You know, we've talked about a lot of the guys. Matt Barkley is probably available if you wanted to play him. If you're looking for a quarterback, maybe Joe Flacco. You know, running back, you got you know, Paul Perkins looking like he's going to get more reps. We didn't mention him. What do you think about Paul Perkins?
I think he's the best back on the team. I mean, Rashad Jennings is the veteran, so they're going to give him plenty of work. But Paul Perkins definitely has that explosive ability. And the Giants, if they can figure it out on the offensive side of the ball on a consistency basis, they're a team that can win a Super Bowl. They're definitely a team that can represent the NFC. To me, going into the playoffs, if they get Janoris Jenkins back on defense, they are my favorite to come out of the NFC. Eli Manning isn't my only question. I mean, he's not playing good football. Let's just face the facts. I mean, Odell Beckham has bailed him out plenty of times the last couple games. The Dallas game, you know, a terrible throw last week against the Lions that, you know, Beckham caught. Sterling Shepard's playing better. They're not getting anything from the tight end play. Victor Cruz has had moments. The Giants, yep. I mean, Paul Perkins is definitely a guy that he might be sneaky, but again, not a guy I'm banking money on in a season-long league.
Yeah, you know, still, you know, if you're getting desperate, I think he's probably one of your best options available. You know, if you're desperate at running back, you know, maybe you're looking at a Duke Johnson, a T.J. Yeldon, a Justin Forsett, might, you know, these type of guys might be available. Dwayne Washington, if Riddick's still out, you know, these, you know, reach plays probably in that order. You know, moving on to some receivers who might help you. We already talked about Cameron Meredith, could be available in some spots. Malcolm Mitchell, despite his, you know, being pretty quiet, is a guy who could have a good last couple weeks of the season. Pierre Garçon, Dontrell Inman, those types. You mentioned Robbie Anderson. J.J. Nelson might be a guy who might be available who could help you. Ted Ginn, perhaps, if you want to reach. Anybody else to reach at receiver if people are getting desperate?
I wouldn't say anybody that you haven't mentioned already. I mean, pretty much all the guys that are going to be on season-long teams, you're going to see him in your lineups. Robbie Anderson, we mentioned. Outside of that, Kenny Stills, maybe, if you really want to get way
yeah,
outside the box. But that's
it. Sanu might be available in a couple spots. Chris Hogan, John Brown, if somebody dropped him. I think I mentioned J.J. Nelson. Moving on to some tight ends that might be able to help you. C.J. Fedorowicz, both the Houston tight ends. Ryan Griffith, both can help you, I think, down the stretch here, depending on if Fedorowicz comes back. Do you think Griffith's playable with Fedorowicz or only if he's out?
If Hodor doesn't play, I think Griffin is a top three value in daily this week. I mean, it looked like they were throwing the ball. Even Osweiler was getting to him early. Savage. I don't think you're going to see much of Savage down the field. I don't think he's going to be taking many big shots. So Ryan Griffin could be a guy that, you know, I mentioned to him you last week when we were talking before the game started, a sneaky guy. And he did put up some numbers. I expect the same thing. Nye isn't crazy. Maybe he steals a touchdown this game. But he's definitely a guy, if Fedorovich doesn't play, he will be on a lot of my DraftKings teams.
Yeah, with Fedorovich out, Griffin stepping up with 8 for 85. Pretty solid. Almost bonus. Could have a touchdown, too. Deion Sims, we already talked about, is probably my reach play guy. So if you're looking for somebody down the stretch, Jared Cook, you mentioned him, I think, earlier. You know, if you really wanted to get out there. Guys, reminder, you're listening to the BFD Fantasy Football Show brought to you by Scout Fantasy. Don't forget to get on over to Scout Fantasy. We still got a ton of great content throughout the playoffs coming, not only from me, but also from some other winners in tons of formats, including season long and daily. Use my promo code BFD16, BFD16 at checkout, and you get 3 free months. 1 month's $12. You get 3 free months with that. That'll carry you through some NBA action. If you're into that, and they've got a ton of other, gets you the whole Scout network. They've got a ton of great premium content, a whole host of men's interest kind of topics, obviously fantasy being a major part of that. Anyway, let's move on to some game previews. Who do we got on Thursday night?
Eagles, Giants. I mean, pretty much the Eagles season is as close to dead as possible. I mean, nothing really to play for. What started off so promising has turned into a disaster in my hometown. From a fantasy perspective, Zach Ertz, top five tight end right now. You got to use him in this matchup. Outside of that, if I had to pick between Matthews or Sproles, I would lean a little bit toward Matthews, not by much. Outside of that, you're not playing anything in Philadelphia, not even Jordan Matthews unless you're desperate. They're just not throwing the football well at all. If your name's not Zach Ertz. From New York, I mean, this is Odell Beckham. Should be a big-time game for him. If you got him in A-plus matchups, this is his time. He should have a monster game. I expect a big-time two-touchdown, 100-yard effort from him. Eli Manning, you can't trust him with this kind of money on the line. I mean, Eagles always play the Giants tough. They usually beat them. They've owned them recently. Not a matchup I like Eli Manning. Too crazy, but he could be sneaky. Running back-wise, Rashad Jennings would be the start if I had to pick. Sterling Shepard if you really want to get outside the box a little bit.
No doubt. You know, it sounds like I'm a little higher on Jordan Matthews. You know, Eagles could pass the ball a little bit, particularly if they're trailing in this game. And Jordan Matthews and Ertz are, you know, the only guys I would trust to catch the football there. So, from a game flow perspective, I think might be the saving grace in my mind for Jordan Matthews. On the Giants side, you know, maybe not quite as high as ODB. I think he's, you know, gets close to 100 yards and a touchdown darn near every game. I think that's kind of what I'm expecting here. Eli, maybe, you know, I agree with you on your analysis there. He does have ODB, so who knows? If you got ODB down for a couple touchdowns, you know, maybe Eli's worth starting. Big slate on Saturday, of course, Christmas Eve, and then just the two games on Sunday, Christmas, and then, of course, a regular Monday night game. So most of the games being played, of course, don't forget on Saturday this week. First game on Saturday I've got is Miami Dolphins at Buffalo Bills.
It's a really, really tricky fantasy matchup for a lot of guys. If your name is not Sean McCoy, you're not really confident in anybody in this game. I mean, Jay Ajayi's kind of come back to earth a little bit. Matt Moore looked, you know, solid against a Jets team who's quit pretty much. Will you get the same thing against a Buffalo aggressive defense? You don't know. This is a game that Miami has to have to make the playoffs. Can Matt Moore win on the road? Who knows? I like Jarvis Landry in this game. He's a guy that I'm, you know, a big fan of. Devonta Parker is a sleeper in this game, in my opinion. We all know Buffalo likes to blitz a lot and leave a lot of man coverage. He didn't do much, you know, against the Jets, but he could be a sleeper in this game. Buffalo-wise, McCoy's a stud, number one running back this week, in my opinion. Charles Clay stepped up last week. Do I expect it to continue? Maybe. Am I crazy about him? I'm not saying I'm going to bank a lot on him. I think he'll be overused a lot in a lot of the daily fantasy, you know, circles because he had such a solid game. And realistically, the tight end position is a disaster right now in DraftKings. So not somebody I'm crazy about, and I'm not using Sammy Watkins. I mean, it's a good matchup for him, but the ceiling's only so low. They're a running football team, and it's been, you know, LeSean McCoy and then throw a little Mike Gillisley. That's really it.
Yeah, revenge game for Clay, right, a former Miami Dolphin. So kind of an interesting guy, but again, I'm not banking a lot on it either. New York Jets at New England Patriots.
LeGarrette Blount is one of my favorite running back plays of the week. I think he could go for 150 and two touchdowns. The New York Jets have quit. Let's just face the facts. On that team, Bilal Powell, Robbie Anderson are the only two guys that I'm even considering. That includes Brandon Marshall. What does he have to play for? Let's be serious. The guy's a warrior, but what are these guys going out there? You saw the effort of the New York Jets last week. It was abysmal against the Dolphins. Before the game, all that crap with the defensive player, Sheldon Richardson. Garbage time is what you're looking for. Bilal Powell, Robbie Anderson. Very, very solid plays this week. New England, I love Brady, obviously. Julian Edelman's a must play. Martellus Bennett, I wouldn't say he's a must play, but he's a strong play in this matchup. Malcolm Mitchell will now be mixed in with Michael with Chris Hogan. Not any of those three guys on, even though the matchups. If I had to pick one, I would pick Malcolm Mitchell.
No way you're playing Brandon Marshall.
Garbage time. If Brandon Marshall's playing garbage time, he has a chance. But I think he's going to perform when the game's still in reach. I don't. I'm not saying I would sit him over guys like Marquise Lee or, you know, Randall Cobb or stuff like that. But if you have a better option, I would start Rishard Matthews over Brandon Marshall.
Yeah, Bilal Powell and Tom Brady got to be the number one plays on these two teams. Bilal Powell, what a star. I mean, he looked great to me. Like I said, the lone kind of bright spot on the Jets, in my opinion. Robbie Anderson's been impressive, but Bilal Powell, man, what I wouldn't give to have him on the Denver Broncos roster right now. Let's move on to Tennessee Titans at Jacksonville Jaguars.
Tennessee, Marcus Mariota is going to be a very popular play this week. Delanie Walker's probably my tight end this week, especially on DraftKings. I looked at his value. It's pretty solid. Coming off a, you know, okay game. Jacksonville, a team that is going to come out and play this week. I might be crazy. Last couple of weeks, I've been a little fritzy with some of my picks, but something about this game tells me that Jacksonville is going to come out there and show something. Blake Bortles, Allen Robinson, Marquise Lee, if Allen Hurns doesn't play. I'm not using any of the running backs. Don't get crazy there. You know, Rishard Matthews is another solid play. Obviously, DeMarco Murray is a stud. You know, Derrick Henry coming back home could be a sneaky play, especially if this game gets into a blowout. We do remember last time they played on Thursday night, Tennessee went up big, and then Blake Bortles threw the ball around on the field. That could happen again. So don't not sleep on guys like Allen Robinson and Marquise Lee this week. It could be very, very sneaky in this game.
Really interesting to see how the Jacksonville Jaguars will respond to the, you know, firing their coach, and that offense has been so abysmal. Like you said, it's all about garbage time here. I mean, I don't think if this game's super close, the Jaguars, you know, that he's putting up Blake Bortles at his huge numbers. But I do like the call. You know, don't sleep on Allen Robinson for sure. Minnesota Vikings at Green Bay Packers.
Minnesota, Adrian Peterson coming back at home last week. Everybody was all excited about it. If you used Adrian Peterson in daily leagues or season-long leagues, I'm sorry. Unless you were desperate, you're a dope. I'll keep it G-rated. I was going to say something a little bit meaner, but there was no reason to use Adrian Peterson last week. Everybody saw Indianapolis. Everybody saw, oh, great matchup this, great matchup that. The guy just came off major surgery. What can you really expect from him? And he pretty much showed you exactly a fumble and 28 yards. Adrian Peterson is not just going to turn into a hero again. And this is a matchup that I hate. Again, Green Bay has everything to play for. They're going to stop him. They're going to make Sam Bradford beat them. And let's be serious. That's not going to happen. Aaron Rodgers, I like Davante Adams in a bounce-back spot this week. Jordy Nelson's playing great football right now. The running back position, don't get excited about Ty Montgomery this week. Everybody's going to be overdrafting him. I won't be one of them. I could be wrong, and it could bite me in the butt later on, but Ty Montgomery, in my opinion, will be vastly overdrafted, vastly overused in DraftKings, FanDuel, whatever way he play. I am not going to be having him on my roster. I just think everybody's going to see 30 points from last week. Green Bay is not a running football team. And, you know, if they try to run the football, Minnesota is pretty solid against the run. So don't get excited about Ty Montgomery. Stephon Diggs in this matchup I like a little bit. Kyle Rudolph a little bit. It all depends on who your options are.
Yeah, I love the call there. Packers receivers, how you rank them? You got Nelson ahead of Adams.
Yeah, Nelson Adams. I mean, they're the top two. I wouldn't play any of the other guys.
No doubt, like that. Yeah, Ty Montgomery, interesting to note. I think he only got 16 carries, did all his damage. I think averaged over 10 yards a carry or something. So obviously that's not happening against the Minnesota Vikings defense. San Diego Chargers, although he will get some, you know, receptions. San Diego Chargers at Cleveland Browns.
Cleveland, you really could think this could be their last chance to actually win a football game. San Diego's got nothing to play for, especially if Melvin Gordon doesn't play. They're a totally different offense. They pretty much have nothing from the running back position. Like I said earlier, Corey Coleman's a sleeper in this game. I'm not using anybody else in the Cleveland. I mean, Isaiah Crowell, maybe if you really want to get like way outside the box, but let's be serious. That offense stinks. I mean, they're not moving the ball. There's just no excitement whatsoever for me to actually bank my big money on a Cleveland Browns player. Corey Coleman, if I really want to get tricky and go top heavy with stars, might be a guy, but outside of that, ugly game. San Diego, Tyrell Williams disappointed last week. I expected more from him. Dontrell Inman's been their best player. The tight end position is Hunter Henry's, in my opinion. Also, Antonio Gates, not a guy I'm excited about. This might look like a plus matchup for Phillip Rivers, but with no Melvin Gordon in the backfield, if he does not play, to me, it gets downgraded him a lot. Not a game I'm really excited about. Another game, again, where I'm not banking a lot on.
Yeah, Chargers tight end situation, a little bit tough to trust either way. You know, if you got better options, probably go with them. But if you got to roll the dice, you're saying go with Henry?
I would say go with Henry if I had to roll the dice.
Washington Redskins at Cleveland Bears – or I'm sorry, Chicago Bears.
Everybody's going to see what Kirk Cousins did against Carolina. Everybody's going to look at that game. They're going to be like, Kirk Cousins is done. The Redskins are done. Stay away from them. Yappy, yappy, yappy. I'll tell you right now, Kirk Cousins will be a guy that I use a lot in a lot of big spots this week. The reason I say that, we always talk about it. Guys coming off bad games are guys we like to target. We tried that with Brandon Cooks a bunch of times. And then finally, the week we give up on him, you see what Brandon Cooks gives. So guys like Kirk Cousins, terrible Monday night game, looks atrocious. They're getting a get-better game against, you know, a Chicago defense who's not very good, who could have given up a ton more against Green Bay outside of the cold weather. If it's not too freezing cold in Chicago, which you just never know, the temperature was crazy last Sunday. It's supposed to be cold again this Sunday. Kirk Cousins, DeSean Jackson, Garcon all in play. Like Rob Kelly in this game, Jordan Howard's a plus matchup. Alshon Jeffrey. I'm not starting Matt Barkley, but I wouldn't say you're crazy if you did. Cameron Meredith will probably be a little bit of a sleeper.
Yeah, I love that call. You know, despite the cold in Chicago last week, they're able to put points up. I suspect that'll probably be the case again this week. Atlanta Falcons at Carolina Panthers.
There's three games that we're probably going to talk about in a row right here that all have monster matchups fantasy-wise. This game will be targeted a ton. Cam Newton, Matt Ryan, must starts. Jonathan Stewart, you got to use him. Devonta Freeman, you're using him. Julio Jones, if he plays. If he doesn't play, Sanu and Gabriel are in play. If he does play, Sanu and Gabriel are in play. Carolina secondary is not very good. Don't get crazy with that. from a Carolina's perspective, Greg Olsen had another solid game. Ted Ginn's probably the number one receiver right now. Calvin Benjamin is not a start. And even in the great matchup here, I do not like him in this matchup. This is a game to target all over in DraftKings and just all over the place. I like both matchups.
Love the call, man. Indianapolis Colts at Oakland Raiders.
The second game out of three in a row, another game has another plus matchup. Does Amari Cooper finally break out, you know, after last week's terrible performance? I don't know. Vonta Davis is going to be on him a ton. This could be a a game where it could get a little tricky for them. Indianapolis still has a little bit to play for. They still got a chance in that division. Am I backing them? T.Y. Hilton, I don't know how he's not on your fantasy team this week. I mean, the guy has been inconsistent as they come. He might be the number one receiver down the stretch consistency-wise. In the last couple games, he's been a monster. Targets out the wazoo. And against the Oakland secondary that is not very good, they have some talent, but they always seem to get beat deep. And that's what T.Y. Hilton does. Andrew Luck is a quarterback that I really think in this matchup, people are going to get excited about Cam Newton. They're going to be on Matt Ryan. They're going to get in the Drew Brees and the Jameis Winston debacle. They're going to see Tom Brady. They're going to see all these other guys that have plus matchups. And they might ignore Andrew Luck. And Andrew Luck is a guy that the defense stinks. If Oakland can get their offense gelling, this could be a stack type of game that we like to target. T.Y. Hilton, Andrew Luck, you know, Cooper. The running backs I'm not crazy about in this matchup. You know, I like Latavius Murray. Frank Gore has been as consistent as possible. But don't sleep on the Andrew Luck, T.Y. Hilton stack this week.
Yeah, and I'll call Dante Moncrief a start just to clarify some of my terms earlier. I like him in this plus matchup as well. Same thing with Crabtree, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, Crabtree, you know, is going to get the second corner most of the time in Indianapolis. That's not Vonta Davis. Their secondary is not very good. Their defense is not very good. They don't get much pass rush, so Oakland could get healthy. And Oakland's playing for everything right now. They went out. They get a bye. They avoid New England, potentially the AFC Championship game. This game means everything to them. So this game is definitely one that you should target in a fantasy circle. Start all those guys with confidence in DraftKings. Stack the game. You're not crazy for doing so.
Tampa Bay at New Orleans Saints.
It's the number one game of the week, fantasy-wise. Daily-wise, DraftKings, FanDuel, season-long. I don't care what league you're in this week. You're not going to get better matchups than you're getting in this game. Mike Evans, I'm riding him this week. I don't see how you don't. This is a plus matchup for him. Jameis Winston is probably my favorite quarterback at his price point this week. He will be on a lot of my rosters. It's a chalky pick, but it's a pick that Tampa Bay had another team in the driver's seat right now. It's a game they got to win. No cold weather potential in a dome in New Orleans against a bad defense. Drew Brees is going to be throwing the ball all over the floor, all over the court, all over the field, all over everything. No mistake about it. Brandon Cooks, Michael Thomas, they're all in play. Mark Ingram, all in play. Cameron Brate, top five tight end this week. This game, if it clunks, I'd be shocked. This could be a 38-35 type of game. And I like the Winston-Evans stack probably more than I like any other stack this week. It's chalky, but it's the way to go, in my opinion.
Yeah, I like it. I like the Saints side of the ball, too. I mean, I think Breeze is going to have a heyday. I'm not really sure exactly who to, probably, you know, distributing the ball like he usually does. But, you know, Cooks always has those great home splits, and Thomas might be getting healthier. So tough to tell, but I like some of those stacks as well. Arizona Cardinals at Seattle Seahawks.
A game that last time they played, they didn't do much. It's a game that's near and dear to my heart with David Johnson getting tackled at the one. Seattle, another team with everything to play for. I like Russell Wilson in this game. I like Doug Baldwin in this game. Thomas Rawls I'm not crazy about, but I think he could be in a sneaky matchup. Arizona has nothing to play for. Somebody tried to tell me that it's their Super Bowl. I don't buy into that stuff. This game's at Seattle. They're going to be in control of this game. You saw what Arizona's defense happened to them last week.
pride or not, to me, they quit. They don't really have much to play for. I mean, they're not playing for the playoffs, obviously. Jimmy Graham, I like this matchup. Arizona-wise, J.J. Nelson is probably my favorite play, not named David Johnson. His deep threat ability, you can beat this team deep with Earl Thomas being out. So a guy like, you know, John Brown or J.J. Nelson could be sneaky in this game more than Larry Fitzgerald, who's not really a deep threat, who's going to see a lot of Chancellor, a lot of Wagner, and obviously a lot of Richard Sherman. So J.J. Nelson's probably a little sneaky for me.
Yeah, him and John Brown look like their best options suddenly, which is kind of interesting. Of course, they cut Michael Floyd, and he's picked up by the New England Patriots. We didn't even mention him under their analysis. Any chance Michael Floyd gets in and makes an early impact this week or next?
Early impact, no, but I think for, you know, playoff run, he's definitely a guy that, you know, could be potentially in play. I mean, I totally agree.
Let's see. Where did we leave off? San Francisco 49ers at LA Rams.
Todd Gurley, Carlos Hyde, next.
Yeah, pretty straightforward, isn't it? No receivers you trust either anywhere. Kenny Britt, my boy.
No. I love Kenny Britt. You were right about him. I was wrong, but not this week.
Yeah, I feel you. Yeah, not a lot else to talk about there. And then moving on to Christmas Eve night, Cincinnati Bengals at Houston Texans.
AJ Green's back. Do I love him in this matchup? No. Jeremy Hill, I do like in this matchup. He's pretty much the guy. DeAndre Hopkins, you know, hopefully Tom Savage gets him the ball. We talked about Ryan Griffin. You're going to see a lot of Lamar Miller in this game. Another game I'm not crazy about. I wouldn't get too nutty with it.
Like you said, maybe Hopkins really gets going now. That'd be interesting, wouldn't it? Let's see. Moving on to Christmas Day, Baltimore Ravens at Pittsburgh Steelers.
We talked about Big Ben, Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown, all must starts. Eli Rogers, if you want to get cute. Jimmy Smith probably not playing for Baltimore. Definitely something to watch. Baltimore-wise, Steve Smith must play. I like Dixon over West, not by much. Outside of that, not crazy about their receivers. Joe Flacco, not my cup of tea this week.
Yeah, I got a little more faith in Flacco than you do, it sounds like. Anything else? Sorry, I mean, anything else on this game?
No, I pretty much said it all.
Sorry, did you mention Eli Rogers?
Yeah, Eli Rogers is definitely a guy that I would be a sneaky flex option, especially with the injuries in the secondary. He definitely a guy that could surprise.
Let's see, Denver Broncos and Kansas City Chiefs.
Not a pretty game. You know, a game that means everything to the Denver Broncos, a team that, you know, two big losses. I mean, a team that's in shambles right now. Defense fighting with the offense. Demaryius Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders are guys you're using. Spencer Ware, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce. Outside of that, nothing really exciting about this game. It should be a slugfest. 19-13 type of game.
Yeah, I think you're probably right on right there in Kansas City. Super Bowl champion Denver Broncos on the ropes. I got to get that in as much as I can before we get knocked here, because we got a chance of messing around and losing the next two and not even make the playoffs here. We got to win both, I think. Let's see. Monday night, it is Detroit Lions at Dallas Cowboys.
Dallas and Clinch on their home field. Ezekiel Elliott, Dez Bryant, all plays. Jason Witten, I like him in this matchup. Dak Prescott, you know, this is the last game of your fantasy season. It could be a monster. Detroit, love Stafford in this matchup. Love Golden Tate. Eric Ebron, a little sneaky. Outside of that, no.
Theo Riddick coming back? I didn't even talk about him.
It's questionable. I mean, you really don't know yet. There's a lot of unknown with Theo Riddick right now. I would say no, but the game means so much to that team with Green Bay right on their butts.
All right, man. Hey, I think we've got to leave it right there. A lot of games to cover, a lot of big fantasy matchups this weekend. Best of luck to everybody in their fantasy football championships or consolation, whatever you have going on. Don't forget to get on over to scoutfantasy.com. Check us out. Join us if you haven't already. You'll get the month for only $12. And if you use my promo code, you get those three free months. BFD16 at checkout. Again, BFD16. Get you into some fantasy basketball. We got tons of great winners, not only from a season long, but also a daily perspective. So they'll get you through the fantasy playoffs, as well as the NFL playoffs, as well as into some NFL basketball or other premium content from Scout. Again, check us out on scoutfantasy.com. That's all we have for tonight, everybody. Thank you so much for listening, and best of luck to you all. Win some championships.
Champagne. Let's continue tonight.